Okay, good morning, everyone. We're going to start our workshop. They're bringing some more chairs. So before we start, this is going to be a bilingual workshop. There's a number on your folder. If you guys want to call the number, because like I said, it's going to be bilingual. This workshop is presented by the sponsorship committee. First of all, I'm going to let you guys know we're not professionals. This is something that we just work, you know, during the year. We work so we can present this workshop. And so we're going to have I think it's called exit survey. And also there's going to be a basket. So if somebody wants to make a question, either they want to step up to the microphone or they can do it, you know, on a piece of paper. Everybody has these papers and a pen. So if, everybody has the number, so if they want to dial in, they can do it. And also I'm going to read the statement of anonymity. There may be some who are not familiar with a tradition of personal anonymity that at the public level. Tradition 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and other public media of communication. That we respect that CIA House speakers and members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio recording or in a published or broadcast report or meeting, including those on the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our effort to help other compulsive eaters who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that CA Howe principles come before personalities. If you don't know about anonymity, out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the events of the Global Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of CA Howe members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognized photos of integral CA Howe members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. Thank you for your cooperation in observance of our tradition of anonymity. Also, like everybody knows, if somebody wants to come up to the mic, they have to sign the release paper. Okay, we have a basket also. Rhonda has a basket there. See if somebody wanna do some questions on the paper, they can do it. We're gonna have three speakers, as you can see. First, we're going to have Doreen guiding the new sponsors, and then Mercedes, she's going to be sharing in Spanish, abstinence and dia abstinencia and dia de fiesta, that means abstinence and holidays, and Larissa, she's going to be sponsoring maintenance level. So without further to say, he's going to be Doreen.
Thank you, Jose. I'm noticing that there are just a couple empty chairs by you. If there is no one that you're saving that for, would you raise your hand so the people standing in the back could kind of fill in these empty chairs? Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Before we begin this panel discussion, I would just like all of us to bow our heads together and say the Serenity Prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Thank you. I'd like to qualify just a little bit before I begin. I've been around a 12-step program for compulsive overeating since probably the mid-70s, but I didn't always stay, because I would get well from time to time, have to go out and do some more field work, but you know, it came crawling and crying back. And every time I came back, the program had changed. And it got stricter and stricter until I showed up one day and it was CEA Howe, and I thought, oh, Lordy, I should have stayed 10 years ago. It would have been so much easier. But you know what I found through time is that the CEA Howe program has given me more freedom, more love and appreciation for myself as a child of God, and more appreciation for you as a child of God. And that has made all the difference in my program today. I have right now, my recommitted abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, maintaining 25 to 30 pound weight loss. I do qualify to sponsor on all levels, but my schedule is full and I'm unavailable. But please call me. I know I'm going to be on that list. For myself, I think being a sponsor to a newcomer is one of the biggest privileges we have in CEA Howe. This is not to take away from the other levels of sponsoring, because each level of sponsoring holds very special responsibilities, and each are special. However, I know for myself that if I hadn't had sponsors that were really committed, I wouldn't be standing up here today. I wouldn't be willing to raise my hand and say, sure, I'll be group representative. Okay, I'll be secretary. I'll be area rep and then delegate. I never would have thought. I've got people sitting here in this room that I'm looking at, and I go, you guys know where I used to be. You know, I was in my own head, and that wasn't very pleasant. But I had sponsors that brought me out of that position. My story about the sponsor that I have now is one that I will cherish forever, because I was in the program so long, I felt like I could kind of manipulate the sponsor. I don't know if anybody else has ever manipulated a sponsor. But until I got the sponsor I have today, and I was slipping and I was sliding, and I would have 3 months and then I'd have 6 months. One time I even had a year, and I thought, you know, I can do this. I can get right back on. I want to eat that thing more than I want to be abstinent. So naturally I confessed, because that's part of the program, to be honest. And she was real quiet, and she said, you know, Doreen, we've been doing this for a few months now, and I sense that you're not committed to long-term abstinence. Well, that started shaking my boat right there. And she said, I want you to not call me for 3 days. Instead, I want you to call everybody on the roster that has long-term abstinence. Find out what they do. What changed inside of them to make them commit to that long-term abstinence? And I want to tell you that I really admire this person. I really wanted what she had, and what she had was long-term abstinence. So I started making those telephone calls, and I thought, okay, there's going to have to be a shift inside of my heart, inside of my brain, and I'm going to have to trust my higher power more than I thought I was already. So that changed my whole outlook on abstinence. And I began to sponsor again, because I was one of those people, I'd been around a long time, I'd done a lot of service. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit in the chair and I'm not going to raise my hand to do anything, because I've already done that several times over. And I realized without service, my abstinence is waffly. You know, I can talk myself into just about anything and be okay. So that changed for me. And I'm very grateful for her strength as a sponsor that she was able to tell me that. Overall, I think that we sponsoring newcomers have, my opinion now, one of the biggest responsibilities. And it's not to scare you, but it's to help you understand that we are helping them get a foundation that will be the springboard into other areas of their life that they didn't even know was going to happen to them. We come in to lose weight, get slim and sexy, and move on. At least that's me, you know. And what I got was an understanding of where I needed emotional healing. I didn't want emotional healing. I wanted a skinny body. I got to understand that my link with my higher power, whom I've had for a really long time and felt quite comfortable with, it was kind of like a garden hose that had gotten kinked. And if you've ever tried to water your garden, it's got kinks in it. Not very much comes out. Not much goes in. So I had to unkink that. And blessed, you know, I got to stick around and watch my own whole being, body, mind, and spirit, morph from somebody that was depending upon themselves only to a person that was willing to let others in and my higher power in to change me. And change is not easy. But when I'm dealing with a newcomer, I think it's important that I have the love and the patience for that person to see them through. And I don't, you know, I may be a little bit different in my approach to sponsoring a new person or even somebody that's gone out and come back in, because I don't automatically say yes. I say, let's talk about this. And I, if they've never been in, I will say, okay, I'll be your sponsor. You need to read this, which is the Forever Abstinent book. You need to read all that. And we're going to talk about this. But even before you get that book, go home and start reading the labels in your cupboard and your refrigerator of things that you eat. Where is sugar and flour listed on all of those things? Because that's what you have to begin to watch for. And I tell them about needing a scales and needing cups and measuring spoons. Because when I first came in, I didn't know I needed all that. I didn't know I was going to need to buy the big book and the 12 and 12 and, you know, be ready for this new experience. So I had to be led by the hand. But I had gentle hands that led me along. And those sponsors, and maybe for you too, are forever special in our hearts. Ever special. And so I lead them through very practically in the first few telephone calls. But then I ask them the big question. Are you ready? We've talked about commitment. It's an everyday experience with you and I. We have to have a specific time, and we'll talk for 10 or 15 minutes. And that helps the person and me keep sanity in my life. I have a husband, I have, you know, a household to take care of, I have other things in my life that need my attention too, but so I can't have my time be eaten up at an hour at a time unless it's really important, and I know that there are different circumstances, but to set that initial boundary of whatever your time is, mine's 10 or 15 minutes, yours might be something different, and that's okay, as long as there are boundaries in place, because when I put boundaries in place, I'm remembering that I'm an example to my new sponsee that says you can put boundaries in space in your place too. You know, you don't. And so anyway, that's an example and it's a help to them. The other thing that I realize in sponsoring someone new to the program is that perhaps they do or they don't have a higher power of their understanding. And though I came into the program with a power of my understanding, it did change over time with the program. And I began to realize by listening to people in the rooms that God of the universe that put all of this together, balanced everything out, cared about what I put in my mouth, cared about how much I ate, wanted me to have a healthy body size and be healthy as I possibly could with what he had given me. And that was an awe, just knocked me off my feet experience, that God cared. And that also spread out to when I walked into the rooms, I thought, these people cannot be for real. You know, they say they love me or like me. They love me. They may not like me, but they love me already. You know, how can that be? I don't know you. How can you tell me that you love me? But then I stuck around. That is another key, sticking around to find out that that love is tangible. At every single, well, face-to-face meeting, I'll have to qualify now, you get a chance to hug people. You get to see their bodies, and they witness my bodies getting down to a normal size. They get to watch the glow come back in my eyes. I get to see the glow come back in your eyes as you're getting off of flour and sugar, off of that quantity that kept you trapped, that kept me bound up. And I will have to say, too, that I've heard people express it this way. I certainly feel this way, that it's like the chains fell off. These heavy, like nautical, gnarly pirate chains, they weren't around my feet anymore. They didn't hold me captive because I was letting go of all that. My brain, believe it or not, was getting clearer. My emotions were steadier. I didn't have to worry, well, was that a real point of anger there, or was it because I just ate that pie last night? You know, I didn't have to worry about that because I knew I'd had my weighed and measured food. And when somebody told me as a newcomer, weighing and measuring my food was going to be a springboard to weighing and measuring life, I thought, man, these people are really nuts. But it's true. You know, when I learned about the boundaries, when I learned about the weighing and measuring, cups or scales or however we choose to do it with our sponsors according to the guidelines, you know, we do. It's such a gift. And the other thing that I wanted to just encourage all of us is that there is a plethora of information in our program about sponsoring. We have a sponsor's guidebook that comes to us in that first 30 days after our ceremony. That's a springboard. We have a wonderful book on sponsoring that takes us through all of the steps and how we can help introduce the tools and the further steps of the program that come along. And we have a booklet of questions on how we can answer those, and pamphlets. And there's stuff on the website. We are never, ever alone. And isn't that comforting to know? Whether you're a newcomer or an old-timer, you've come back several times, you're just kind of struggling with it all, we're never alone unless we choose to be. And that was something that I also heard early on, was that that's a choice. I can choose not to have a sponsor and try to do this thing on my own, and I did. It didn't work out very well. I couldn't hold on to my abstinence. I kept slipping and sliding around. I had to change sponsors I don't know how many times. And you know, once I got it, somebody told me, but Doreen, you're choosing to slip. How could I be choosing to slip? I've been in the program 12 years and I've had all the love. Bologna. All of that goes down the drain. It's a choice, a daily choice, meal by meal, day by day. How much am I going to turn over to the higher power of my understanding? How much am I going to try to hold on to and say, you know what? I got this, God. You can have a rest. Go help her. You know, no, it's me. I'm the one that's standing here saying, I need your help. So sponsoring is a privilege. It is an immense joy. And it is an honor to sponsor someone brand new in the program. So whatever happens, keep coming back. It works when you work it.
Thank you, Doreen. A reminder that our next speaker is going to be do it in Spanish, but it's going to be a translation. If somebody need to get their phone ready or whatever, or if you don't have the number, I got it here. And yeah. Oh, you're missing a purse? I thought you said you found one. Okay. Anybody needs the number?
from the microphone, the number. Then everybody can hear it.
Okay, the number to call for the translation is 515-606-5307. And the access code is 243024 and the pound sign, I think. 243024. And then you put a star six, as you know, so. Yeah. Okay, the number again is 515 area, 606-5307. The access code is 243024 and the pound key. I don't think so. Okay, so our next speaker is Mercedes, and she's going to talk about, she's going to do it in Spanish, so like I said. They'll be sharing about abstinence during the holidays.
Buenos días. Yo soy Mercedes, comedora compulsiva. Y el tema que me tocó es padrinando en los días festivos. Y bueno, primero que nada debo decirles y ser honesta que yo no soy muy viajadora, pero he tenido la fortuna de tener personas ahijadas que viajan y son a través de mi propia experiencia, porque sí he viajado ya en abstinencia y estas personas me han dado muchos tips, nada menos en estos días. Yo he tenido muchas, tengo una ahijada que viajó, fue a Hawái, y ella me estuvo dando todo su proceso y cómo fue que ella se preparó para salir de viaje a Hawái. Yo, mis viajes regularmente son a México, con mi familia, en los días festivos, y esa es la experiencia que yo tengo, no solamente de salir, no de viajar, nada más así. Dice en el libro de apadrinamiento, son 5 puntos bases muy importantes que dice, prepárese, tome la acción precavida, viaje inteligentemente, haga enfoque en las comidas y no en las personas y establezca límites saludables. El primer paso es prepararse. Dice, recuerde a sus patrocinantes que el programa es un día a la vez. Los días festivos presentan retos muy especiales y bueno, salir de viaje o tener días festivos, incluso aunque no salgamos de viaje, hay días festivos aquí. Están los días de Thanksgiving, están los días de Navidad, están los cumpleaños, están los aniversarios. Siempre hay días festivos, no necesariamente hay que salir. Aquí están los días festivos. Para mí era incluso los domingos era un día festivo. Los domingos yo estaba acostumbrada a don't do nothing. Las dietas yo las dejaba en domingo. I had a big party. Cada domingo, cada fin de semana para mí era una parranda. Porque mis dietas eran de lunes a viernes y sábado y domingo yo me olvidaba de la dieta. So, cuando yo llegué a Haomi me dijeron, no hay un día festivo para ti en esto, hay abstinencia todos los días. So, yo tuve que aceptar que los domingos no eran día de fiesta, que yo tenía que tener un día abstinente. Fíjense, mi primer madrina era igual que yo y me dijo, no me llamen los domingos nos vemos en la reunión y ya de ahí, oh, qué felicidad, el domingo yo podía ir incluso aunque fuera de sugar free, pero irme a comer una nievecita por ahí. Pero el destino me hizo cambiar de madrina y la madrina me dijo, ¿que no comes los domingos? Sí. So a mí me llamas el domingo igual que todos los días y me das tu menú y me dices tu plan y hablamos todos los domingos como todos los días. So yo tuve que hacer este cambio y dejar de irme a comer todos los domingos como solía hacerlo en las dietas, ¿verdad? Esto no es de déjalo tantito y luego lo sigues. Mi abstinencia es todos los días y lo dice aquí, un día a la vez, ¿verdad? Esa es la preparación y lo que tengo que poner en mi mente, que yo no estoy en abstinente para toda la vida. Yo estoy este día y este día, como sea festivo, sea cumpleaños, sea mi cumpleaños, yo estoy muy bendecida en mis cumpleaños. Sobra gente que me invita a comer, gracias a Dios, gracias a mis amistades. Yo me preparo incluso en este día para comer abstinente lo que yo puedo. Así es que en esto incluso me ayudan mis amistades, ya saben, ya, yo ya no soy anónima, ellos ya saben que yo estoy en abstinencia y siempre buscan el lugar, el restaurante donde saben que yo voy a poder ir a comer, ¿verdad? Y otra de las cosas es recordar siempre que la importancia de los siete instrumentos. Para mí los siete instrumentos son aquí y ahora y todos los días. Si yo me apego a estos siete instrumentos, yo no voy a correr el riesgo de caer. Yo no voy a correr el riesgo. Yo he tenido sponsors que se van de viaje y cuando regresan ya no me llaman. Ya no me llaman. Desde allá dejaron de llamarme y regresan y me dicen, estoy caída, ya simplemente, o simplemente ya no. Pero he tenido otras maravillosas que desde allá me llaman de donde andan a la hora que acordamos y regresan y siguen haciendo sus llamadas. Entonces, aquí me doy cuenta cómo la preparación de antemano es muy importante. Dice el siguiente paso, tome la acción precavida. Dice que sugiera que juntamente con los siete instrumentos, cada día ellos quizás necesiten tomar una acción precavida. ¿Qué es acción precavida? Pues quizás necesite más reuniones, ¿verdad? Tenemos el privilegio de tener reuniones por teléfono. Yo no puedo decir, es que a donde voy, por ejemplo, en Guadalajara, no hay grupos, decía Hao. Hay comedores compulsivos normales, ¿verdad? Tradicionales, pero no hay Hao. Y no son muchos, es uno aquí, otro allá, la ciudad es muy grande para estarme trasladando. Pero llevo mi teléfono y tengo los horarios de las reuniones y tengo los números de teléfono. Y hay muchas, no solo en español, yo puedo escuchar en inglés también. Me llevo mis números de teléfono y cuando yo tengo espacios, yo sé que son tres, mínimo tres, ¿verdad? No tengo que estar todos los días pegada al teléfono, pero si necesito cuatro o más, yo las, y puedo, ¿verdad? Me hago mi espacio y las escucho, ¿verdad? Hago más llamadas también por teléfono. Llevo mi lista de teléfonos y así sean pequeñas llamaditas y a la carrera. A veces, en medio de que estoy en un caos familiar, ¿verdad? En una discusión familiar, yo me separo un ratito y hago una llamadita rápida. Establezco con mi madrina a veces el cambio de horario porque los horarios cambian, entonces nos acomodamos a qué horas te puedo llamar. Normalmente en México yo tengo que llamar más temprano, para ellos es un poco difícil, pero acepta recibir mi llamada porque hay dos horas de diferencia. Pero hacemos una llamada rápida. Yo acostumbro a hacer mi escritura en las mañanas, así es que este hábito no lo cambio. Esté donde esté, en la casa de mi hermana, esté en el hotel, donde sea. Yo hago mi escritura en la mañana temprano junto con mi oración, mi meditación. Eso es un requisito para mí. Si yo es con lo que me levanto todos los días, ¿verdad? Directo a mi escritorio, escribir, a leer, hacer mi meditación, mi reflexión. Y esto me ayuda a mí para estar bien todo el día. Todo el día paso muy, muy bien, ¿verdad? También dice, pues, tal vez hacer más servicio y no dejar el servicio, ¿verdad? Si mi ahijada, yo puedo seguir recibiendo las llamadas y establecemos, lo hago. Si no, también dice, ¿verdad? Que yo esos días tengo que preparar a mi ahijada para que ella pueda seguir haciendo sus llamadas y yo seguir haciendo el servicio, ¿verdad? Pero siempre trato, ¿verdad?, de que mi servicio siga activo. Y dice, quizás tomar un poco más, ¿verdad?, de este, hacer un poquito más, ¿verdad?, para que no, no dejar de hacer al menos lo que he estado haciendo, ¿verdad? Dice también viajar inteligentemente, hacer un horario donde puedan seguir haciendo sus llamadas. Dice, si ustedes no pueden, en la página 3 de las guías de apadrinamiento, dice buscar reuniones. Algo muy importante es llevar las básculas, las cucharas medidoras y las tazas. La primera vez que yo viajé me dijo esto mi madrina, lleva tu taza, lleva tu pesa, lleva tu cuchara, y las llevé a pasear y las dejé en la maleta y no me volví a acordar que ahí estaban. Sin embargo, ¿verdad? Yo llevo algo en mi mente, una cosa, llevaba entonces, o sea, pase lo que pase, tú no vas a comer harina, no vas a comer azúcar, ¿verdad? Cuando yo voy a mi ciudad natal, la niña sale, ve aquellas cantidades de azúcares de esto y yo quiero comer todo eso. En México hay muchísimo, ¿verdad?, que yo consumí toda la vida y yo regreso a querer comer todo eso, ¿verdad? Además es muy fácil tenerlos porque allá existe la tiendita de la esquina. O sea, yo en mi casa me levanto y corro a la esquina y ya tengo, ¿verdad? Pero yo puse en mi mente, claro, pase lo que pase, tú no vas a comer eso, ¿verdad? Entonces, en esa ocasión fue mucha ayuda porque aunque no saqué mis herramientas, yo no me fui a comer azúcar y harina porque aquí lo tenía, ¿verdad? Y así sucedió. Después tuve que ir en emergencia por cosas difíciles y igual lo llevaba en mi cabeza. Esto no lo vas a consumir. En esa ocasión sí tomé muchas precauciones, hice más llamadas, recibí más llamadas, le llamé más de una vez a mi madrina y estuve apoyándome con todo, ahora sí que con todo un equipo celestial que Dios me dio para esa ocasión. Pero las siguientes veces ya empecé a sacar mis cucharas, mis pesas, llevo fáciles, ¿verdad?, donde puedo cargar en una bolsa porque… Para mí no es fácil planear dónde voy a comer, porque hoy me dicen, vente para acá, vente para acá. Pero normalmente mi familia ya entiende que yo estoy en abstinencia, ¿verdad? Entonces eso es algo muy bonito, que ya mi familia me apoya, ¿verdad? Ya saben que hagan lo que hagan, cocinen lo que cocinen, yo no lo voy a comer si no puedo. Así es que ya incluso dejaron de invitarme. Ya no salgo tanto con la familia, ¿verdad? También llevar pues la literatura. Yo tengo unos libros pequeños del libro azul y los 12 pasos. No tengo que cargar los libros grandes. Yo traigo unos libritos así pequeños, mi libreta, ¿verdad? O a veces hago mis anotaciones, eso pues no es difícil, ¿verdad? Pero mi libreta. Y eso siempre traigo, y muy importante, mi libro de reflexiones diarias, ¿verdad? Así es que no tengo que llevar algo tan pesado. Esos pequeños libros de bolsillo a mí me han ayudado muchísimo cada vez que salgo para yo continuar haciendo mi lectura y escritura. Y dice algo el siguiente, ¿verdad? Haga enfoque en la comida y no en las personas. O sea, hay que prepararse. Yo tengo que enfocarme dónde voy a comer, qué voy a comer, ¿verdad? Si vamos a salir a un restaurante, ¿qué venden en ese restaurante? Oh, no, ese restaurante no puedo ir, obviamente si es italiano, ¿verdad? O esto. Yo lo que hago es, cuando llego yo voy a la tienda, al supermercado y compro verdura y trato que sea verdura que se come con los dedos, ¿sí? O sea, lo que es… que no se tienen que cocinar. Entonces, donde quiera que voy, en el Ziploc, pongo mis verduras, sé que la proteína no va a ser mucho problema, ¿verdad? Pero incluso si sé que va a haber comida, que puede ser que no haya comida, pues trato de llevar pedacitos, ¿verdad?, de proteína que no tenga que calentar, ¿verdad?, que no tenga que cocinar, que simplemente lo saqué de mi bolsa y ya no tengo problema, ¿verdad? Yo voy preparada. Y ahora si allá hay comida que me gusta y que es abstinente, posiblemente pueda hacer un cambio y lo llama mi madrina, ¿verdad? Así es que ahí está. Y pues yo no me enfoco en las personas, muy bonito esta, me encanta esto, porque esto evita que yo salte mi codependencia y quiera arreglarle la vida a toda la familia, algo que nunca voy a poder, ¿verdad? Entonces, si me enfoco en mí, en mi abstinencia, no estaré de metiche con las demás personas, ¿verdad? Entonces, esto es, y establezca límites saludables, pues así, ¿verdad? Cuando yo ya estoy sobre emocionada, sobre… estresada, ok, stop y vete a descansar, ¿verdad? Tómate tu tiempo para estar bien. Y pues yo puse algo más, ¿verdad? Algo sobre todo, pues mantengamos lo simple, ¿verdad? Yo soy muy complicada y me durante un mes me pongo nerviosa porque voy a salir, voy a hacer, y cuando llego ahí me doy cuenta que no es tan difícil. Si yo tomo estas herramientas y si yo sigo el proceso de los 7 instrumentos, lo más apegado a esto, no es tan difícil. Y menos ahora que ya mucha gente lo sabe en mi familia. Antes era difícil porque yo con mi familia no quería que su… el negarme. No, esto no puedo. Ahora, pues ya no es tan difícil porque ellos ya saben que en muchas cosas de comer yo voy a decir no. Entonces ya ni me las ofrecen. Esto me lo hace más fácil y pues ahora sí. Keep it simple, hagámoslo simple, no es tan complicado y vámonos a viajar felices y a disfrutar de la vida. Gracias, que tengan buen día.
Gracias, Mercedes. Now we're switching to English and just saying something that, you know, she was saying when you travel. Now we have the phone bridge, we have Skype, and there's like 3 meetings of Zoom too. There's like face-to-face online, so there's an excuse, you know, wherever I go, there's CAHOW, you know, Mexico, wherever you go, I think you can go in line and have a meeting. So now we're going to continue with Larissa. She's gonna talk about sponsoring and maintenance level.
Name is Larissa. I'm a compulsive eater. Can we have a moment of silence? And say in your mind whatever prayer that you want to. Amen. Again, I'm Larissa. I'm a compulsive eater. And compulsive everything. I brought big book, daily reflections, forever absent, the sponsor's guide to absence. You know, that's Larissa. She's a compulsive person. So I have to have all of that. And that takes all of that for me to work my program and stay in the program, doing the program on a daily basis. Because for me, it's a one day at a time. I do not get to come here and say, okay, I've got 30 days, and I guess I can do without a sponsor. No. It continues to call that sponsor every day. And then it doesn't say that I get to go out there and try after 30 days or 90 days or a year, I can stop and say, okay, I can eat anything I want to. No, I have to still follow the food plan. And that's why that gray book is here for me. It has all the food in it that I will ever need one day at a time for more than any lifetimes. I mean, I can always, so that's another thing. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened with me. I came to see how January the 5th, 1997. And I had prayed before I got, I came into to that room. I said, God, give me a sponsor. And God always, you know, he'll give what you ask for. I walked into the room And at the end of the meeting, they says, all available sponsors, raise a hand. Three people were available. And I looked at the three people, and I looked at the third, and I said, I don't want her. And I said, okay. And they said, you go up and ask them, you know, if you see what somebody have what you want, you go up and ask them. So I went up. I asked the first two. And they, oh, I just took someone. I don't have any space for anybody else. I looked over to her. And I said, oh, my God, I got to ask this woman. I said, she'll probably be full, too, and I won't have to worry about it. I went over there, and I says, real low, and I didn't want her to hear anyway. I says, will you be my sponsor? She says, sure, I'd be glad to. I said, oh, shoot. I got to take this woman my sponsor. I said, okay. So she says, now, you have to call me tomorrow. And that was on a Sunday, next day was Monday. And she said, you got to call me tomorrow morning. She said, and I go to work. You got to call me at 5:30. Okay, I'm not a morning person. Even though I work, I'm not a morning person. I was saying to myself, oh, no, I'm not calling you at 5:30. She says, and we'll talk about what you're going to eat then. I said, by the way, I said, I have a doctor's appointment, which was true. I had a doctor's appointment that next day. I said, why don't we wait until after I come from the doctor? She says, no. You call me tomorrow morning, and we get started tomorrow. I said, but what if he says I can't do this? She said, call me tomorrow morning. So I left out, and I was getting my car. I said, you'll never hear from me again. I went home, and I was walking around, and she'd given us things that I needed, to get the grade book. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking to myself, oh, no, I'm not doing this. So I was walking around. I went on one of my benches, what I'll be talking about. There are more things to abstinence than just a food plan. I went on one of my emotional benches. I was walking around in my house. I said, I'm not calling her. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not calling her. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do about a program, but I'm not going to call her. 5:30 in the morning, 5:30 the next morning, I woke up. I said, oh, God. And my mind would say, call her. Just do what you're supposed to. I called her. And we start talking about the food plan. Now, you have to realize, now, this is Larissa. She's a compulsive eater and a compulsive everything. We were talking about the food plan. We were going over the foods and all of that. And I said, but you know, you don't understand. There are some things that you don't understand, you know, about eating. I said, culturally, I said, we do different things in my race. I said, we don't eat the same things that you all, everybody else does. I said, you have to realize, I said, and she's white. I said, I am black. You are white. We eat different things. She says, Larissa, when I go to the grocery store and I buy my abstinent food, I buy the same thing that you are supposed to eat that's on that food plan, and that's what you're going to eat. I said, but you still don't understand. You're not of another race. She says, I said, you're white. She said, I am Jewish. She said, and we eat different things too. She said, but I said, if you're going to follow this food plan and I'm going to be your sponsor, you're going to eat what's on the food plan, and we're going to measure and weigh. And that's what I got. I said, measure and weigh? And she said, yeah, do you have a measuring cup? I said, yeah. You got measuring spoon? So yeah. She says, a lot of your food plan is weighing and measuring. The only thing is you don't have to weigh and measure is water. I said, okay. She said, and we're going to do this the way it's supposed to be done. So we worked on it, and we started working with it. You know, and I was saying, you know, to myself, you know, like, one of these days I get a chance to tell you something, but I can't tell you now. So now about 3 months, about almost 4 months into the program, I says, you know, you are a narcissist sponsor. She says, good. She says, good. She said, then you'll work your food plan and work your program, and you'll stay absent, and you'll maintain your absence. You're going to be one of the best sponsees I ever had. I said, oh, my God, I can't get rid of this woman. She's going to stay with me. So we worked. We worked together, and we did all the things we're supposed to do. And I got, when we did all of the 30-day courses, and I did the fourth step and did all of that, she says, now you can think about going on maintenance. I said, okay. And I was thinking, if I do maintenance, I can eat a lot of different things, you know. And I found out it wasn't like that. Maintenance is not about food only. That I want to let everybody know. My first, from January the 5th, 1997, to January the 24th, 1997, I was really good abstinent. Lost my abstinence. Went into a Whole Foods store on a Sunday, and they had this stuff out that you taste. It was only a fruit, but I picked up a piece. I don't know what I even thinking. And I put it in my mouth, and I put it in my mouth. I said, oh, my God. I said, I got to tell that woman I did this. And I was driving all the way home. I said, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to tell her. And I told her. And she said, okay, great. You'll just have to start over. I said, start over? I said, I just did that one. She said, we'll start over and do it over. So January 26, 1997, I recommitted to abstinence. And I kept long-term abstinence until 2006. The sponsor, that sponsor, who had been in Seahawk in California and moved to Texas, that's where I'm from, Texas, she moved to Texas, and she became a sponsor in Seahawk in Texas, but we didn't have Seahawk, we had Howe. And we didn't become Seahawk in Texas until 1999, almost 2 years later. And she was sponsoring me, Seahawk, and I didn't know it. And when they became Seahawk, she said, I said, well, what am I going to do? I said, I don't have are you a Seahawk? She said, I said, I have to have a Seahawk sponsor. She said, I've been sponsoring you Seahawk all the time, which was really good. So I stayed absolutely, and that sponsor in 2006 left the program, who had been in the program 20-something years. I thought I was going to lose it. I was like, what am I going to do? I said, no, this is my sponsor, and I loved her, you know, and I didn't know what to do. And so I was talking to her. I said, what am I going to do? I said, you're not going to be. She said, why don't you call? You know, she gave me a person's name who I knew, but lived in Florida, but I knew from working on the board. I had been on the board back then too, and I called this woman, asked her to be my sponsor. So 2006, at June the 6th, I recommitted to abstinence because my abstinence had been kind of flagging because my sponsor was, you know, had left this program, and I was kind of all weird. Didn't lose food abstinence. I lost emotional, mental, and spiritual abstinence because mentally I couldn't keep my food right. You know, it was like jaggering, you know, here and there, and my emotions were going in all kinds of directions because I was scared. I didn't know what to do, you know, about my, when I talk to people, they say, what is your biggest fear? My biggest fear, I say this to anybody, my biggest fear has always been losing abstinence, losing program, not being in program. That's the biggest fear. Because without the program, what do I have? Without abstinence, what do I have? So I recommitted June 6, 2006. And one day at a time, I've been abstinence. Food abstinence since June 6, 2006. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The other three abstinence, that mental, spiritual, emotion abstinence, is up and down. Because I was telling someone in the program, we was talking, she says, how do you keep your emotional abstinence? I said, I don't look at nobody. Because if they look at me wrong, I lose my emotional abstinence. And she said, wow. She said, that's a good way I can think about it. She says, I was trying to figure out how am I going to keep my emotional abstinence. I said, I keep it by not looking at nobody, especially people at work, you know, some of them can do weird things sometimes, and if I don't say anything or act it, then I can move on. But of course, this is the reason I have to say something sometimes, and then that means I have to lose emotional absence, and my sponsor will say, well, you need to make an amends. I'm like, I didn't do anything. They did it to me. And she said, you're not making amends for them. You're making it for you. So I have to make them, I won't have to make amends a lot of times. So I try to keep my emotional absence in check. My spiritual absence is connected to my emotional absence because spiritually I have to be able to maintain the spiritual contact with my higher power. Only way I'm going to keep anything. And mentally, my higher power has to continually work in my mind at all times. And in the big book, it tells me, and it tells us all, oh, I don't know, I have 2 minutes left. No, I have to have a whole lot. I'm a compulsive eater. What it says in the book, how it's in the last story in the big book. It says how to maintain, tells you how to handle sobriety. And on the last page, it's on page 36, it says, God willing, we members of AA may never again have to deal with drinking, but we have to deal with sobriety every day. And how do we do it? By learning through practicing the 12 steps and through sharing at meetings how to cope with the problems that we look to booze or food to solve back in our compulsive eating days. And it says, we cast off the burdens of the past and the anxieties of the future as we begin to live in the present one day at a time. And that's all, you know, that's for all people, you know, that's in the program. Even for those that's out of the program, you still can't live one day at a time. But, you know, I didn't know it until I got here that I couldn't live one day at a time. I thought I was, you know, doing a whole lot of things, you know, but just one day at a time. And in the this is a well-used book. On page 299 in Daily Reflections, if I find it, a daily tune-up. Every day is a day where we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, page 85. How do I maintain my spiritual condition? For me, it's quite simple. On a daily basis, I ask my higher power to grant me the gift of sobriety for that day. I have talked to many alcoholics, or compulsive eaters, who have gone back to eating. And I always ask him, did you pray for absence the day you took your first compulsive bite? Not one of them said yes. As I practice step 10 and try to keep my house in order on a daily basis, I have the knowledge that if I ask for a daily reprieve, it will be granted. And that's the truth. So what I have to do to maintain my absence and work with my sponsees on maintaining their absence, I tell them to ask every day when you wake up, ask God for abstinence. Ask God for abstinence. That's the only way I can get it. I can't get it any other way. So I wake up in the morning. If I forget to ask in the morning, sometime during the day I'll think, oh, I didn't ask for abstinence. I'll ask for abstinence. Because that's what gets me through the day. That's what helps me to work with my sponsees on keeping their abstinence. And, you know, and I tell my sponsees on a daily basis all the time, I'm not going to work this program perfect because I'm not perfect. Oh, can you believe that? and I tell them, you're not going to work this program perfect. Because no human being is perfect. Only God is perfect. That's Larissa's story. And if you want to add something to it, you are perfectly welcome. She'll listen. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Larissa. We have like 5 or 6 minutes for any questions. And also remind you that I forgot to tell you the survey that we have in the other side is in Spanish. So, or if you want to put anything else, you know, besides what is there, we're just looking for suggestions so we can do a better workshop, you know, next year. So it is open for questions now. If somebody has something, just remember they have to sign. Can you come up to the mic so everybody can hear you? Yeah.
Hi, Michelle, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Hi. Can, if you're willing to, can everyone leave their phone number? I mean, if you're not comfortable doing that.
Sure.
We don't want to date you or anything. We just want to call. Thank you. Do I have to sign it?
No, really. It should be on the outreach.
Is this mic on? Okay, it is. I'm Doreen, compulsive eater. My telephone number is area code 505-865-9300. I'll tell you again. 505-865-9300. And it's a landline, so please leave a message. Oh, I'm in Mountain Time.
Okay, I'm Mercedes, a compulsive eater, and my phone number is 626-703-3046. And I'm from LA. I'm from Los Angeles. No, so this time. My number is 626-703-3046. And my name is Mercedes.
You say 3046, I'm sorry.
Yes.
3046. My name is Larissa. I'm a compulsive eater. My number is 214-729-4887. You want you, again? That's Larissa. LUERETHA. Larissa. I'm in Central Time in the great state of Texas. Okay, 214-729-4887.
I'm Jan. I'm a compulsive eater. And I just wanted to thank the panel. I've been doing this a long time. I've been sponsoring for nigh on 15 years, and I have, you know, I have so many experiences in sponsoring myself, and I never failed to learn something new from someone else. There was some wonderful suggestions that I heard today, some things that, hey, I need to do that. Why didn't my sponsor tell me that? But it's just so wonderful to be able to hear this experience, strength, and hope from other folks, and it helps reinforce what I do. And like I said, I got some great ideas, and I want to thank you all for your presentation.
Thank you.
I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lisa.
I have to say, too, that was wonderful. And so many things I picked up. My question, I guess, is about sponsoring somebody who is slipping and slipping and slipping. And knowing what to do. I mean, I've heard different thoughts, but I think that's probably the most difficult thing for me. So that's it.
I think that I agree with you that someone is what they call maybe a chronic slipper. But, you know, terminology is everything. And I think when I stopped using and labeling myself as well as others as a chronic slipper and began to think of them as sabotaging their abstinence, there was a little tweak inside my brain that said, that doesn't quite sound as judgmental. And it's always getting to ask the question of the sponsee, what's underneath the eating before the eating happens? Because we have a halt, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. I'd add S for sick, stressed. There's always something underneath it for me and for those that I've sponsored that led up to it. And that's the key, you know, to help them understand and helps me understand myself better as well. So that's my thought.
Nice, Loretta, compulsive eater. Chronic slippers. I have a sponsee that has been going through that for the last year and a half, and she just has a hard time, look like staying absent for any period of time, and each time I never ever have made any kind of comments that will be shaming or nothing like that. I always say, you know, you can start over as many times as you want to, in your emotional absence. And she always says that my emotional absence is what happens first. She says, I get something going on that happens, and then I lose it and I start eating. And I tell her all the time, your emotions and your food are sometimes connected. For some people, they are connected. And so if you find that you're going in a direction emotionally, that's to pick up the phone. Call someone. If you can't get me, call someone else and talk to them about what's going on. So she started doing that. And for the last few months, you know, she has some pretty clean abstinence. You know, she said it's not easy for me to think all the time. She said, but if I try my best to think, what am I supposed to do? And she said, and I hear in my head, it'll say, call someone and talk to someone. She said, it doesn't matter who. She said, I call people, you know, she lives in Dallas, and so we have a lot of face-to-face meetings. But she said, I call somebody on the phone bridge. I'll call somebody here locally. She says, I just keep calling until I get somebody. And then I talk to them. And she said, and that usually helps me when I get off the phone to do that. And one more thing, I tell sponsors and tell people that have chronic slippers, there is something called a G-O-D-B-O-X, God box. Use it.
I'm Judy Kay, Grateful Compulsive Eater. Thank you. Thank you to the panel. I had a sponsor who taught me something very valuable. She said, a lot of times as a sponsor, you have that God intuition that someone is starting to relapse or they're letting go of things. And she taught me to say, I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I see some red flags. Are you leaving some tools out? Would you, you know, why don't you write about that? And I love that expression, I'm concerned, and I see some red flags, and then they usually can share, write about it, and it can sometimes prevent that slip.
Thanks, Judy.
Okay, it's time to close our workshop. I would like to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for the sponsorship committee. You know, they've been working around here, and we're just doing service. We're just doing what we got. You know, we're giving it back. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, the panelists. Thank the people that were doing the translation.
Thank you for being our leader.
And thank you. And there's better things before to come because we're going to go to lunch.
Okay. We're going to stand here for Jose. My name is Larissa Compulsive Eater. Jose has been the best leader for our sponsorship committee. He has.
Thanks, everyone. And we would like to close with the serenity prayer. I don't think we can all hold hands, but we'll do our best.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.